Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to all my friends out there, wherever you are. It's almost Thanksgiving, right? Next week, Thanksgiving. People get the turkey, buy the frozen turkey, put it in your oven while it's still frozen. That's how you get a divorce. I'll cook the turkey. You put it in frozen, you kill half the family. Yeah. So remember to follow proper cooking instructions with your turkey next week. It is Thursday, November the 21st, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 5 p.m. November 21st. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? We're here. 2024. Almost 2025. And it's your good friend Dan, speaking from the Olympic Peninsula, not far from Tiglet Bay, not far from Grovelington, not far from that burial ground where they took all those dead grizzlies, not far from the secret lab where they program orca whales. There are public lists of shame. A good example of a public list of shame are the lists that the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and the Southern Poverty Law Center keep. These are lists of shame. You might agree with them. You might say, well, they're dirty Nazis or racists or whatever, anti-Semites, and they belong on that very public list of shame. And then there are secret lists of torment that are kind of different. People on the public lists of shame, they get their sites ripped off sometimes. Sometimes they get sued very publicly. Sometimes they suffer the ridicule and calumny publicly that is heaped upon them by journalists and whatnot. If they get banned from a website, social media, whatever, they're usually back after a hero's journey, storyline has finished, and they'll have 10 times more followers and acolytes than before. People on the well-sheep-dipped, you know, public lists of, you know, shame, huh? Yeah. People on those lists end up okay. Then there are the secret lists. And mind you, if people knew about these lists, they would be quite upset. That's why they're not really public on their secret. One thing, you might be one of those people on those lists because you said something. You said something at a party, maybe you made a comment on Facebook, maybe you attended the wrong protest and you were just against the wrong war, right? Maybe you said something mean about the state of Israel. I gotta tell you, these days, that's all it takes. And then you find life on the World Wide Web quite fucking difficult. You find it hard to actually be heard. And the people that end up hearing you, well, how can I phrase this? A lot of them ain't people. A lot of them work for the U.S. government. A lot of them are there just to mindfuck you. Sorry. The publicly shamed are treated as guardians of truth. They watch the boundary of Overton's paddock. And as I've said, I call it Overton's paddock. I don't call it Overton's window. I find that description not very useful. But as a paddock on wheels, like, the, you know, those movable chicken, you know, chicken coops on the wheels where you can move them around, that's a lot like what it is. And the sheepdogs, they patrol the outside, the Joe Rogans, the Alex Joneses. And I'm frankly, I'm going to add Dane Wigington, because these are people who will complain about not being heard. But I got to tell you, their shaming, their not being heard, their being censored is very, very fucking public and kind of ironic, like Khrushchev's secret speech. You know, remember Khrushchev's secret speech? the one that the entire Eastern Bloc knew about, I don't know, 5 minutes afterwards. The West knew about 5 minutes before that. Yeah, the secret speech, okay. Yeah. If you're one of these, you know, publicly shamed guardians of truth, these publicly shamed and attacked people, you do a job. You keep people from going too far outside the fence. And often, if these are actual real celebrities, they get enriched by the process. They make money. And sometimes they believe they're bullshit. I don't really know how real any of these people are. Some of them are actors. My guess is the lower you go down the chain, the faker it is. Because, frankly, it's too expensive to have a billion Alex Joneses. You can have one or two of him and a Tucker and somebody else. But the rest of them need to be acolytes and YouTube edgelords and other functionaries of the established realm of those publicly shamed people. And probably the worst thing about this whole story I'm telling, because from your perspective, it could be a story. From your perspective, I could sound like I'm having a psychotic break. Probably the worst thing about this fucking story, the diabolical thing, is that you will end up questioning yourself. There is no way to prove this. There isn't. If it is true, you'll never know for sure. If it is true, I gotta say, it's an indication that the system has real problems, and I think it's in collapse. And so it doesn't fucking matter. And if it is true, you're not only are you not special, but if it is true, there's probably, I don't know, if there are 300 million people in the country, I would guess there's at least 30 million people on one of those not-so-public lists. Yeah, it's come to my attention that a couple of my podcast listeners are upset about this morning's podcast because I use the R word and the G word repeatedly. I don't fucking care. I don't care. I don't care if I made fun of Trump. I don't care if I made fun of you because you voted for Trump. I don't care if you voted for Klamala, Kamala, Oliver Twist. I don't care. If you think that your vote makes a difference, I find that a curiosity. But beyond that, that's your fucking business. That's your crazy. I don't need to defend any of it. I don't need to talk about it. I also heard that Matt does not get to be Attorney General. I'm sure some lit YouTube edgelord will talk to you about that, buddy. You know, some really good content at the Vegas Troll Farm. A real switch from the ham radio prepper stuff you usually see. I don't care about random people's feelings at this point. I don't. I almost want to piss people off. I kind of want to offend people. So many are in a kind of stupor, a trance. They are pulled in, they're sucked in, and the ironically named devices and social media just makes it worse. And in a lot of ways, when people talk about the robot apocalypse, as I've said before, look around, shithead. On that bus from Seattle to Redmond, the one that takes you to Microsoft campus, take a look around the fucking bus and tell me what the fuck the robot apocalypse looks like. A bunch of people gormlessly staring at glowing rectangles. They're taking orders. Yeah, they're taking orders. And they don't even know it. They're taking orders. So no, if I hurt your feelings, I don't fucking care. If you think any of what I was saying was about you, understand that testing whether or not Elon Musk was full of shit and feeding my schadenfreude by having a blue check mark on Twitter the last year was my fucking choice, and I'm the fucking moron. I'm the one that wasted $200 doing that stupid shit. I paid money to voluntarily be on one of those lists that is not public. And it's stupid. It's dumb. I thought it would help my podcast. That was idiotic. So that makes me the retard. That makes me gay. And not in a homophobic sense. This isn't about homophobia. But I'm going to own the words I used growing up, and they weren't really about being homosexual. It was about being really, really dumb, you know, really, really gay, and I don't fucking care. It used to mean happy. The meaning of words changes over time. We need to get over the censorship bullshit. The only way out, the only way to break through, is to get on the lists of shame. And believe it or not, I've been emailing the ADL and the SPLC. Believe it or not, it's not that easy to get on the list of shame. You can spout whatever nonsense you want to, but if they don't want to turn the camera on you, they're not going to. All you're left with is a stunt. I mean, at this point in human history, any random gay retard can hawk-tua their way to power as long as they can break through that media control grid. It's not easy. It takes imagination. If you come up with an idea that also won't get you or someone else killed, you best keep that idea in the safest place you have, buddy. Your own mind, deep and almost hidden to yourself. So I'm working on plans. And that's why I'm off of Twitter too. That's why I closed down my Zero Hedge account. The only way you can. I don't know. Some of my plans involve social engineering and hacking and lesser magic and prayer. Some of them involve Kaufman-style antics and street theater. Some, and perhaps all, will put my livelihood at risk, which, you know, is the same as putting my life at risk at my age and health. And I'm okay with that, too. Live free or die, Hawk-Tua. So I've got to talk about something painful, and I was kind of hoping the previous rant would help me, but it's not really helping. I got divorced in 2014, so about 10 years ago. Really, it feels like more like 11 years ago, because 11 years ago is when we split. And I don't want to go into it. My ex has their own life, and, you know, they were never the bad guy. My ex asked me to leave, and I did. We didn't have kids. It's over. The thing that sucked about it was my first girlfriend and my only wife. And being divorced in your 40s, whether it's your fault or not your fault, sucks. It just does. So after my divorce, I don't know how to put it. It sort of reminds me, it's really funny. 2014 kind of reminds me of 1994, the year after my dad died. And the year after my dad died, I was kind of rudderless. I didn't really have a plan. I was so rudderless, so without a plan, I ended up walking into a university student union building one day and walking up to an ROTC table and walking out, you know, with this idea in my head that I'll be a U.S. Army officer. And that was the story that I followed from 1994 basically to 1999. I spent 3 years on active duty. I got out. I don't want to talk about that either. But the idea behind this little story, as it relates to 2014, is that in a rudderless state, it's not that hard to be taken advantage of. In the case of 1994, the rudderless state was the fact that my dad died so rapidly and my relationship with him was so bad that it was really kind of just a shocking thing. I was never going to get a chance to fix things. I was 23 years old, and he and I had a terrible fucking relationship. Really bad. Believe it or not, that relates to the story too. He wasn't an evil person. And the fact is, people who abuse, whether physically, psychologically, or both, are usually people who suffered abuse. He was a psychological abuser. That was his skill. He was really good at it. he was basically somebody who, like a hawk or an eagle, like a bird of prey, would find something you cared about and use that against you. He was good. So 2014, I am divorced. I am in Indianapolis. On a professional level, 2014 and 2015 were okay years. I mean, I ended up in a job that was a pretty good job. I made pretty good money. So if you fast forward to the year 2016, I have a good job, good money. I have one of these ranking titles in a company that has a potential to go someplace, whether it's me that helps them as the CTO or whatever would be a separate issue. But it was also a small company, and I was really restless. And that was another feature of being rudderless, is that it translated into an inability to stay put. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with the rest of my life. In some ways, I still don't know, but I'm at peace with it. Back then, I wasn't at peace with it. I just couldn't be. So in addition to the rudderlessness of it all, and I'm going to drink some water here if that's okay. In addition to the rudderlessness of it all, I was also really lonely. When you fast forward to 2016, I'm 46 years old. I haven't been with a woman in 3 years, and, you know, I don't want to talk about anything before that. But the point is, I hadn't been with a woman in 3 years, so it'd been a while. And I hadn't really given up on dating, but it was a wasteland. Like, I went on one date, and this woman, a pharmacy tech, basically wanted to go out and have sex in her car. And I know this sounds weird to other people. I'm not a homosexual, and B, that's not my style. If I had an erection, I would lose it, because that's not who I am. I'm kind of old-fashioned. Maybe it's a product of the culture, maybe it's my personality, but I don't really want to just go out and have sex in a car in a Starbucks parking lot, you know, in Carmel, Indiana. It's not really something I'd want to do, ever, 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 ever. So by early 2016, even though professionally and financially, and those are the two key words, professionally and financially, from the outside looking in, my life looked pretty good. Internally, my life was hell. And I was really lonely. And, you know, I had my podcast I was doing at the time. I was on, I think, iteration one or two of YouTube channels that hadn't been, you know, canceled yet. That would be fun for years to come, getting YouTube channels canceled. Because I'm a lucky guy, and I'm on the special list. I'm not on the public list. The ADL won't return my fucking calls. I don't know. You know, fuck you. And, you know, I watched the YouTube dreck, and I ended up one day seeing a pop-up ad for something called Awake Dating. And listen, at the time, and this is 2016, I thought the whole being woke thing was a joke. But when you're really lonely, you just don't care. I mean, the way the advertisement read, it was like, if you're out there and wear tinfoil on your head or something like that. I mean, they were basically marketing to neurodivergent people who have weird theories about reality. And hey, would you like to actually go out on a date? So I clicked on it. I clicked on it and I joined their site. And I learned a lot from that experience. I learned a lot from that experience and later experiences with things like Plenty of Fish and stuff like that. You know, free advice. If you ever go on a dating site, there's a 99% chance that for the first few days, the contacts you get are fakers. I'm sorry, they're fakers. It'll always be the case that, oh, I just wish I didn't live 4,000 miles away. Because if you push the envelope on it and say, well, wait a minute, honey, I'm on a business trip tonight, and I'm only 20 minutes away. If you push the envelope, you find out that they're full of crap. So if you ever go on a dating site, okay, don't be suckered. Initially, you're going to get a flood of just fakers, okay? Wake up to it fast. Well, what I found out eventually is that the fakers I was interacting with were, you know, basically Mr. and Mrs. Fitton, Jared Fitton. Wide Awake Media, I guess, is his Twitter account. I am so glad I'm off of Twitter now. Ugh. I almost feel like the story I'm telling is going to be triggered, because here's the deal. I got an email tonight from someone who is ostensibly a reporter, and that's as much as I want to say. And the email was a question about, do you know, have you ever worked with Jared Fitton? But it was kind of vague. Between you and me, before the story is over, you need to understand that this is the kind of bullshit Jared would pull. Like, he would actually pay somebody, pay a hooker to pretend to be a reporter and give me a call and say, oh, I work for Time Magazine and we want to do a story on Jared Fitton, you know? Just to find out if I still remember, just to find out if I'm still pissed off. So Jared, if you're listening, or Satan at all, fuck off, okay? The smartest thing you could have ever done is just paid me for my fucking time. Let's continue the fucking story. So I click on the fucking Awake Dating, and I'm basically in a chat situation, but with a faker who is turns out to be either Jared or Jared's wife. And they're basically acting like the fakers for their site, their shitty-ass dating site that they bought, according to them, for like less than $1,000 from China someplace. And when I looked at the database and the PHP code and other stuff, I can believe it. It was pretty terrible. That part of the story comes later. One thing led to another, and they find out that I'm a software engineer, and they tell me they have a horror story. Oh my God, Dan, we've got this special deal, but our guy that works for us can't do nothing, and we have to update a value in a database, but we don't know what to do. It's MySQL, Dan. Can you update the field? Can you configure the system, you know, for free? And I did it for free. You have to understand, I was in such a pathetic state and in so much need to make human contact. I ended up in April, and I think it was April and May of 2016, probably doing between 80 and 120 hours of free work for them, free consulting, free engineering, free stuff that under normal circumstances would probably have cost them between $10,000 and $15,000. But it gets worse. Jared tells me about his vision, not the whole vision. Understand, the pie chart at this point of his vision, I get the 5% slice. And I get the 5% slice before I ever end up in Ireland. But his vision sounded cool. He wanted to create a new type of social media site. That was something I was interested in back then. He wanted to sort of do some impactful things that were ethical. That all sounded really fucking great. He was a pothead. So was I. And whether you like it or not, sometimes people bond on that. I'm not saying it's good or bad. That's simply the fucking truth. And we did some Skype calls, so I got to see faces. I got to see his face. I got to see his wife's face. They seemed like nice people that lived in Glen O'Shane, Ireland, right? Nice people. Nice fucking people. So it could have been the last week of April or the first week of May, but a week or two into this bullshit, they asked me to talk to a reporter. And I don't remember the direct website this reporter was from. It was some shitty site, some low-scale, you know, crack-in-the-brain reporter. I'm sorry for being a dick, but I don't really have high opinions of lawyers or journalists at this point. And the journalist asked me questions, and I was honest. Here's the thing. I don't enjoy lying. I can lie. You can ask my ex-wife. I know how to lie. But that doesn't mean I enjoy it. It doesn't mean I'm really that good at it. And the reality is, eventually, I will make sure that I get caught. So the journalist starts asking me questions. And ultimately, it led to this whole thing about the whole being woke. And I said, I told her, and this was just my honest statement. I said, I think the concept of woke is dumb. That was the initial version of the article. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was kind of a silly, absurd thing. I thought it was empty. I didn't really see that there was anything behind it that drove anyone to conclusions about reality or changes in their lives. I thought it was kind of a manipulative term at the time. Knowing what I know about military psychological warfare today, it was uglier than that. Well, Jared finds out that I wasn't so excited about the word woke, and he sends me this really angry email like I'm the worst person in the world. And keep in mind, this won't be the first time I suffer this event with him or others later on, huh? We'll talk about that on another podcast. It's a very manipulative process. The thing is, when you're trying to break people in and own them, it can't just all be positive. It can't just all be, hey, we're buddies and pals together. Periodically, you have to reduce people to nothing. He did that. He sent me this terrible email about how I ruined his life because I was honest to a reporter. I ended up emailing the reporter back saying, well, you know, I was drunk and silly. Can you update your article? The end. And then the Fiddens have another kind of software crisis, and I help them with it. And it was like everything is forgiven. And again, I haven't been paid any money so far. No money, no cash. I propose to work with him on the projects also. Like, he's talking to me about these social media projects, and I said, you know what? I'd like to get involved. And he says, why not? Folks, who the hell is recruiting a burnt-out 40-year-old something dude in Indianapolis, Indiana, to be the CTO or CIO, but really let's just say CTO, of some web startup? Nobody. Way fewer now, but the actual number in 2016 would be pretty fucking close to approximately zero. Okay. That should have been a red flag, but that was the opposite for me. All I saw was the brass ring, the possibility that I would finally have that title that fit my name so I could be special. I'd write some code, I'd lead some teams. We would get startup money, right? I wouldn't have to do it all myself like every other fucking situation. I would have a team of people working with me. That's a nice thought, isn't it, Mr. and Mrs., you know, optimist. Anywho. One thing led to another, and we're talking about going into business together. And my timeline, I actually bought a ticket, a non-refundable ticket to go to Ireland for August 2016. This was another red flag. I should have seen it. When I told him this, he got really angry. He said, no, I need you in Ireland now, the next couple weeks. We got to get started, Dan, while the iron is hot. If we don't do this now, blah, 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 manipulative bullshit after manipulative bullshit. And on top of this, I need to take responsibility. I was mentally and physically weak as fuck. When you meditate upon everything that happened in 2020, I'm going to flash forward a bit. When you meditate on how easily people were manipulated by the COVID bullshit, understand, brothers and sisters, that this is how it works. I was broken down. I was ready to be taken advantage of. I was lonely. You put that all together and you got a lot of people clicking on links they shouldn't really, you know. So he gets angry that I have this airline ticket for August, and I end up, I ended up eating it. That, I think that ticket, that one-way ticket, was $1,700. That's some of the money I've lost, okay? So keep in mind, let's keep a tally. You know, I figure I did about $10,000 to $15,000 worth of consulting hours, adjusted for inflation, let's call it 20. Add to that this ticket I ended up eating, okay? So my personal financial situation is already getting uglier. I buy another ticket to go to Ireland, a ticket to leave sooner. It was kind of, I think it was like the end of June. I don't like thinking about it. I think it was the end of May. It was the end of May or the end of June. It was one or the other. I'm pretty certain it was the first week of June when I was there. But the reason why I'm a little bit confused is because I block a lot of that shit from memory. I left a really good job And I left it in such good standing that, you know, one of the few happy parts of the story is that when I got back from the situation, my boss took me back. So that tells you a little bit about who I was. Even as broken and crazy and on the edge and feeling like a worthless piece of shit, I still had a boss who, after I resigned, simply wanted me back. But that's further into the story. So it's the end of May, I think. I think it is the end of May. And I'm getting on a plane to go to Ireland, and I've got all my stuff with me that I'm going to take. And folks, at this point, I've got a quote-unquote friend, which is its own horror story, back at home, who's going to sell my stuff on eBay. Boy, I'm not going to tell you that story. That's its own kind of taco under the sofa bullshit. That's a separate story. I had a really good year in 2016. 2017 was a banger, too. Yeah. I'm on the plane. I get to Ireland. There's a driver waiting for me there. He drives me over a few hours from Dublin to a place called Glen O'Sheen, Ireland. And then I meet Jared Fitton and his wife and his family in person. And the first day or two were okay. Like, I assumed he understood that I was a 46-year-old man, not a 26-year-old man. And that in all likelihood, I would probably need a few days, maybe even a week or two, to get my feet steady before I was going to get ready and be Steve Jobs by myself and change the whole fucking world. Well, there was some confusion there. The first day or two were okay. And then I think it was it could have been the end of day two or the beginning of day three, but we had our first blowout. And it was the kind of situation that made no sense. He was asking for things related to that dating site that were not feasible because, again, he didn't own the code. He bought the code from somebody else, and he didn't really understand it. I thought he understood technology. He didn't understand much of it. He understood grifting. He understood social engineering. He understood how to be a con artist. He didn't really understand how the website worked. So the things he was asking for were simply not possible. And so he just got angrier and angrier. And this kind of reminds me of some interactions I had, like I said, with my dad growing up. We had a blowout. It was pretty bad. The next day, for some reason, he and his family came down to the cabin I was renting. Understand, they had a cabin up on the hill. I was staying in a cabin at the bottom of the hill. And there was this situation. It was absurdly stupid. Their kid was in the kitchen, basically in view of both of them. And there was a chair. And their kid wanted help sitting on the chair. And I instinctively did something that, as an adult, I have done in the past. I understand that a lot of people have weird issues, blah, blah, blah. But here's a guy who is butting up to me, saying, "You're my brother. You're my brother from another mother. I've been missing you my whole life. You understand where the story's going, fucker." And so in this one moment, I did this. I helped the kid onto the chair. For some reason, the kid crossed their legs or something, started crying, and then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. They storm out of the house. They go back up the hill. Again, in retrospect, I think this was just another kind of conditioning, but what the fuck do I know, right? And then I get an email. I get an email from Jared. He lives basically 1,500 feet away. And I get an email saying, "You know, Dan, I'm really sorry about all this. And I really feel bad about the fights and all the other stuff. Can we have breakfast together in the morning?" I believe this was day five. The end of day five. Again, it's a blur for me because the whole thing was crazy. I am pretty certain that that was the first week of June 2016. But it was a freaking blur. And so day five, he wants to have breakfast. It is day four, I believe. It could have been day five, late afternoon. He wants to have breakfast the next day. I figure the smartest thing I can do is find a fucking taxi and get to fucking Dublin. And by the way, there's a stream of consciousness storytelling video in the notes called The Goat King. I did it in 2017. You don't have to listen to it, but a lot of what's in there, even though packaged in fictional storytelling, a lot of what's in there is true. And I'm going to tell you some of this truth right now. The guy told me he met his ex-wife because they both enjoyed doing meth together. He told me he almost killed his best friend and spent time in prison in Japan. Yeah, they met, the ex-wife and him met, you know, teaching English in China and doing meth together. He told me he thought meth was good for him. He told me he thought he was a sociopath. He told me he thought he had two poop holes. Okay, I don't know. I guess there are people who have two poop holes, two anuses. But all of this is information that if he had told me this when I was in Indianapolis, I would have never fucking gone there. And then he takes me on one of these little trail walks and he says, Dan, I need to tell you about something. You know, but I can't be around the microphones. And folks, I'm as paranoid as you can fucking get. But this was one of the most abstract, absurd, paranoid moments in my life. Ireland is a beautiful place. This was a beautiful day. And we go walking up the trail, and he starts telling me about his human unity movement, and how he wants me to be a Jedi Knight, and how he wants to bring back gladiatorial fighting, but not totally lethal, Dan. Almost lethal gladiatorial fighting. He told me that he wants to get the whole human race to hum at the same time. Mr. Jared Fitton wants to get everybody to hum. The human unity movement. If everybody hums at the same time, get on the right frequency, the world will change. Again, this is stuff I heard on that first and second day when things weren't totally crazy. But all of a sudden, I'm hearing stuff and it's driving me insane. So I'm going a little bit back in the story a little bit. I think they dosed me with meth. His wife made me some type of witch's brew. She called it a health tonic. I think this was day one or day two. And I don't know what to tell you, but all of a sudden I felt like I had 300% more energy. And so I think they may have done that. I had some diarrhea the next day. And so, yeah, I think they might have dosed me with meth or something. That's another part of the story. I can't prove that. That's hypothetical. If I'd heard the nutty, crazy shit he told me, if I knew that he had stacks of euros in the wall of his cabin while basically taking my money and I hadn't even been paid shit yet, if I had known any of this, I would have never wasted the fucking ticket for August. I would have never bought another ticket to leave in late May. I would have never gone to Ireland to meet this shithead in person. One of the reasons why I have a hard time talking about it or thinking about it or even remembering it is because it was one of the worst fucking experiences of my life. But the problem is, it's not a combat experience. It's not a near-death experience. I didn't have fucking cancer. How the fuck do you explain this to people? I was simply exposed to a manipulator. And the only good part of the story is I figured it out pretty fucking fast. That's the only good part. Another good part is, my former boss, Ed, I will leave his last name private. My former boss, Ed, helped me get a taxi driver late that day, the day before that Mr. Fitton wanted to have breakfast together to fix things again after our most recent whatever the fuck it was, right? So Ed helped. That was a good thing. It was good that I figured out what the situation was eventually. It's sad that it cost me so much money to figure it out. It was weird. I will tell you something. When I was walking down from his cabin those first couple nights, I swear to God, the sheep in the fields were saying my name. Dan. Dan. It was almost like they were saying, get the fuck out. You know, get out, Dan. So my friend Ed helped me find a taxi driver, which was hard to do. I lived in a place that even if you had 600 euros, it was really hard to find somebody that would drive you to Dublin, if that helps you understand where I was at. And keep in mind, that made the situation bad too, because I almost felt captive to the guy. What he didn't understand is that my response to somebody trying to capture me is, you know, the Great Escape, okay? Is to get the fuck out. You try to capture me. If I get the sense that you're trying to control me, I'll keep pretending to be whatever fuck you think I am. But what I'm really trying to figure out is how I Steve McQueen my way away from your wretched fucking ass. I do not know if this reporter who reached out to me is real. supposedly they're going to give me a call tomorrow. Well, that'll be interesting. But this stirs up a lot of painful shit for me, mainly because I don't know that Mr. Fitton is random. I used to think it was just a combination of me being in a really bad state and just, you know, there's lots of grifters out there, lots of con artists. But the fact is, it didn't really end with Jared. 2017 brought a whole bunch of new motherfuckers I wish I'd never fucking met. So yeah. I don't want to go back to Ireland, even though I think it's a very beautiful place. I don't ever want to go back to Glen O'Sheen, even though it was very beautiful. Another thing about Glen O'Sheen, the people I met there, I couldn't find one person that had a good thing to say about Jared. I met a lot of people that had not so great things to say about him. A lot of people. So that was interesting too. Again, it wasn't a huge red flag, but when you put it with the culty stuff and the being a Jedi Knight and getting everybody to hum at the same time, what you're left with is get the fuck out. This isn't a web startup, it's something else. Now I got this reporter telling me about Wide Awake Media and how he's the biggest Twitter thing ever. And I will tell you straight up, I think this is one of Jared's tricks. So Jared, if you're listening, or somebody's listening for you, fuck off. If you simply pay me the money I think you owe me, which with, you know, pain, suffering, interest and everything else, why don't you just write me a check for 200 grand? That's what I think you owe me. That's the damage to my life I think you fucking did. I walked around Riley Towers for a whole fucking year, grasping my 38, not out of fear of seeing you know. I walked to go get my laundry. I walked to get a Coca-Cola. I walked down the fucking street hoping I'd see you so I could blow your fucking brains out. Jared, come visit me if you think I know where I am. Jared, do you understand? Or you can just fucking pay me, you sociopathic grifter piece of shit. But the truth is, Jared might be, I don't know, not quite so real. Like the other people. Like the other magical people I've met. I mean, I know Twitter is a fucking gaslight, a fucking mind fuck, a fucking, what they call it, a snake pit. I know that. I didn't expect different. When I went back on Twitter a year ago, I'd already learned my lesson. Whatever the fuck I wasn't welcome because even if I was a jackass, I wasn't on the right kinds of fucking lists. So there's no shock there. The situation with Jared is that he was good at what he did. There's a Netflix series. And again, I do not compare myself to the woman in the series. She's a special person, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, but people knew her for doing great things in the world of vegan restaurants. But there's a Netflix series called Bad Vegan. And I remember watching the series a while back and thinking to myself, fuck. Because it pushed every fucking button. Unlike the woman in the series, I went through my cycle with him directly, more or less in a period of a couple months. Because then, when I got back to America after the episode in Ireland, after I told him to fuck off, he started sending threatening emails to my family. He started talking about how he wanted to deliver a bow and arrow in person. Oh yeah, Jared, you wonder if I got copies? Ask Sarbanes-Oxley. You wonder if I got copies? Ask some other motherfucker. I got copies of all your wretched shit. All of it. I might be a hobo, and I may have spent last year in a fucking camper, but I held on to the stuff I need to hold on to, Jared. So if this reporter is bullshit, I would recommend just pay me the 200 grand. Pay it to me in cash. Bring it to me directly. I will give you a point where you can drop it off. It'll be midnight. It'll be a crossroads. I don't think you're gonna make it home. Do you understand what I just told you, Jared? That's how I feel about you and having met you. You're one of the worst people I ever met. The fact that if this reporter is real, this stresses me the fuck out. And I was already in not such a great mood. If this reporter is just Jared bullshit, then yeah, Jared. I wouldn't recommend ever talking to me or contacting me again, the smartest fucking thing you could do is crawl under whatever fucking rock there is. I don't care if you're big on social media. Every great grifter is, you fuck. Yeah, I bet you are. I don't fucking care, dude. I'm way beyond the bullshit you think is important. At this point in my life, I'm 54 years old. I don't really expect much more than what I have or what I have been, and I am okay with that. Are you, Jared? You see, I might be a worthless loser piece of shit who has less than, you know, I mean, I have $2 in my checking account, okay? I have almost nothing. Like, my stuff here in my room, yeah, you might be able to pay for it. No, you won't pay for a night in a hotel. I am all those things. If you want to come visit me, Jared, you should understand that's the calculus I follow. And at this point in my life, if I get into a kerfuffle with another person, then they better be the kung fu artist they claim to be with the fucking grip and everything else. Because if that's bullshit too, Jared, then I can at least say one thing. You might live the day, but you'll be missing a finger, a testicle, and a fucking eye. And I won't fucking care if I'm dead in the grave. Do you understand that, you fuck, Jared? Yeah. If this reporter is real, it sucks because I don't know how real the reporter is. I don't really respect journalists, so we'll see. If this reporter is a faker for Jared, it just pisses me off too. This is not a good news thing. I would have been better off just deleting that when I saw it. But I didn't. That's on me too. Me getting suckered by Jared is partially my responsibility. Maybe at least 50 fucking percent. That's important. The other 50% is the grifter. If you got taken advantage in 2020 by the COVID grifters, if Trump managed to mind fuck you and your city into house arrest, half of that is on Trump and on the Fauci and on the COVID bullshit. Half of it's on you, you fuck. Just like half of what happened to me with Mr. Jared, that's on me, you fuck. And I'm okay with it. I've done the calculus. He owes me money. But at this point, I don't want it. I'd rather have something that, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to want. You know, it's crimson. It makes me sanguine to think about it. Yeah, so anywho, I didn't want to talk about that, but I did. I probably sounded crazy, and I'm glad. I'm glad I sounded crazy. I hope that the grifters and con artists out there heard what I said. I hope the other fuckers who've been interacting with me about the whole Twitter thing heard what I fucking said. I was clear. It's Thursday, November the 21st, 2024, Boblimpdoc. Tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow is a whole new day. Go out there. Go out there and make your way to a happy weekend.